I'm here with Tiffany McCulley, who is an interesting woman who lives in the New Orleans area. I guess I originally met you during Occupy. Mm-hmm. And since then, you've been really involved in, I guess, the body positivity movement. Is that a good term for it?
Yeah.
What other terms do you think fit?
Body positivity, sometimes I use, well, there's fat acceptance. Mm-hmm. Or just fat activism, fat politics, but body positivity is kind of broader because then it's not like just about the fatness. Fatness is important.
Right. I guess what's the distinction there between just body positivity and then fat positivity?
I guess you say like fat positivity is like a subset of body, because body positivity is more about all bodies. So all bodies are beautiful. All bodies, or, you know, there's beauty to be found in all bodies. All bodies are worthy of respect and of care and of attention. Mm-hmm. You know, and body positivity extends to race, to gender, to level of ability, anything.
Mm-hmm. So what made you first interested in this?
I found it on Tumblr, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how I came across it. I just, you know, I did see pictures of just fat girls wearing things that fat girls aren't supposed to wear, and I was just like, but you know, they were very like, this is me, I'm wearing this, I look great, and I was kind of like, wow, they do look great. So I just started following those kinds of blogs, and then that kind of led me to body positivity. And this was a few years ago, so I just turned 30, and I was kind of just like, God, I've spent like so much of my life just hating my body and just, you know, thinking that like the way I looked made me worthless, and I was just tired of it, and like seeing all of these people who were just like, you know, we don't have to be a part of that system.
Mm-hmm.
I was really inspired by that, and I was like, yeah, I want to be a part of this.
So when do you feel like you started thinking negatively about your body?
Oh God, it was really early for me, because I had a growth condition that has never really been clearly spelled out to me what it was, but I had a growth condition when I was younger that I grew really quickly, and so I kind of had like an early puberty where I got breasts in second grade, and I was taller than all the boys in my class, and so I was constantly being told, you know, you're too big for your age, and so that, you know, after a few years, that kind of translated into, oh, you're too fat, because I can remember being like 9, and I would always weigh myself when I went to my grandparents' house, and I came out, and I was like, oh, I'm 102. It was like my dad and my grandparents in the room, and they were just like, oh, that's too big. Like, you shouldn't be that big.
Mm.
So, I mean, it was pretty early.
And how do you think that affected you as you got older?
Oh, man. I think that's probably a big part of the reason. Because, like, I was a really outgoing child. I was the kind of kid that was just all over you, and I talked all the time. I always used to get in trouble in class for talking. And then once I kind of hit that age that I started thinking about the way I looked and how I was, you know, I was too much of this and I was too much of that, like, I got really quiet, I got really shy, and so it kind of just compounded to where, you know, by the time I got into my 20s, it's like I had legit, like, social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you started going into the Tumblr and seeing those blogs, was that, like, the first time that you had really thought about that possibility?
Yeah, because, I mean, before that, it was always, I had gotten to a point where I didn't so much feel worthless anymore for being fat, but I definitely, it was a thing that, like, you know, if I lose weight, that's when my life will get really great, or when I lose weight, like, that's when I'll, you know, it's like, I'm okay now, but if I just lost weight, and that was the first time that it was like, no, even if I don't lose weight, like, I'm still pretty great, and, like, just looking at my body in a different way and seeing, like, well, what actually is so wrong with it, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
And it definitely helped to see other people, because when you see other people whose bodies look like yours, it's a lot easier to see the things in them and then, you know, apply it to yourself and be like, oh, my body looks like that, so what's wrong with my body?
Mm. So we said, I see these fat people. And I mean, of course, that's a loaded term for a lot of reasons, but I'm just mm-hmm. curious, I mean, I don't want to talk about that too, but I'm just curious first, like, what you feel like the definition is. Does someone just have to identify as fat to be considered it, or?
I would say that now, yeah, because, I mean, yeah, it is so, like, there is definitely a certain size that, I mean, I would say, we're going by sizes, I don't know, maybe like 16, 14, 16 or whatever, but yeah, it's really, you know, I know that there are people who are a size 12 that, you know, like, oh, I'm fat, but then, it kind of gets their whole conversation.
Where it's like, you know, there's a difference between identifying or just saying, oh, I think that I'm fat, and being fat in a way that it affects your life on a structural level.
Right.
It's like, you know, you have trouble finding clothes and you have trouble finding places to sit. And you go to the doctor, and no matter what's wrong with you, they want to talk to you about your weight, you know. So there is definitely a limit where being fat affects your life in a way that it might not if you're smaller, but you identify as fat. So it's, I don't know, it's a very, it's like an ongoing conversation.
Yeah, no, and that's something I find very interesting about it, because I feel like, because there's plenty of people where you would say, well, you're not fat, don't say you're fat. Like,
and that's another thing that I really got out of, especially when I first got into this, is I have people tell me, I'm like, oh, you're not fat. And I'm just like, no, I'm visibly fat, don't tell me that. But people say it as a way to say, it's kind of a standing for, oh, you're not ugly. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're not fat. It's like reassuring someone that they're not fat. And so part of the fat positivity side is being like, there's nothing wrong with saying that you're fat. There's nothing wrong with being like identifying as fat, because it's just a descriptor. It's just this thing that I am. And though it does have all of these negative connotations to it, it shouldn't. And so my niece called myself fat, and she's 7, I think. And she was like, oh, we're not supposed to say that word. We're not supposed to call people that. And so I had to tell her, you know, if you're calling to be mean to them, if you're calling someone that to hurt them or to, you know, make them feel like you're that way, no, it's not good. But there are some fat people who call themselves fat, and they don't think that there's anything wrong with it, and that's okay.
It's very interesting, because I think, you know, it brings up that idea, like, there's some words that they began as descriptors, and then they took on a derogatory, I mean, there's many words like that, and now they're outlawed. So you started getting involved. I became aware of it early on because you wrote a very awesome blog post, kind of selling your story, I guess, as you. But that was sort of at the beginning of your arc. So I'm sort of curious of like where you've been since then.
Well, that must have been when I first started my health. I started a health blog on Tumblr, and it was kind of because of the at the same time that I was getting into the body positivity, there was an element to it of wanting to feel healthier without dealing with the weight loss aspect of it, and kind of the idea of just if you love your body, you want to do good things for your body, but it's so hard to find stuff out there about that that isn't weight loss focused or that isn't about your weight. And so I wanted to start a blog that focused more on kind of a holistic definition of health, where it's like we're talking about your mental health and we're not talking about weight, we're just talking about, you know, eating in ways that make your body feel good, moving in ways that make your body feel good. And so yeah, when I first started that, I made a post, and it kind of grew really slowly, and then it kind of really took off when I made the big post when I first grew out my beard. So yeah, as a result of that condition growing up, and probably the PCOS, which I also have, I've had a beard since, I've had facial hair since I was 12, and I've had a full beard since maybe 13 or 14. And so, yeah, it was maybe a year after I'd started the blog, maybe not quite a year. I don't know, this one day, I don't know what it was, and just my beard had been grown out for a few days, I hadn't shaved, and I was feeling gross, and I was just like, I'm tired of feeling gross every time, you know, my beard's grown out. Like, I don't want to feel that way. And so I made myself keep it growing out for, I think, a week that first time. And I took pictures and I blogged about it. And I got so many responses from other women that were just like, oh my God, I have this too. I didn't know that other people, you know, either I didn't know other people had this, or wow, you just made me feel like less bad about myself. And so that was when I realized that the whole thing about, you know, if you put yourself out there and you let other people see you kind of embracing yourself in that way, they feel like they have permission to do that too. And so that kind of that kind of really spurred me, and so I just kept doing the health blog thing, and a lot of it was really just personal stuff. Not really,
I feel like you've downplayed it. Like, what was it really like to grow it out for the first time and put yourself out there in that way?
It was great. It was
no, but also, I mean, like, it must have been scary too, right?
It was really scary because I'd spent the rest of, you know, spent the previous, I mean, not 30, I'm horrible at math, 20-something years of my life, just hide it. Like, you know, I can remember, you know, I have to shave every day, and I can remember in high school, I was still a Christian at that time and going to church, and I can remember one Sunday I shaved and had to shave really fast because I woke up late, and I'll get really red in the neck if I shave too fast, And so we were walking out of the house, and I was like, no, there's no, like, people are going to be able to tell that I've done something. They're going to be able to tell that I've shaved. They're going to be able to tell something's wrong. And I started crying, and my mom didn't make me go to church. And so, you know, it was really bad. Like, I spent a huge portion of my life being like, nobody can know about this. When I first started dating my husband, I would wake up before him. When we, you know, would sleep over together, I'd wake up before him, and I would shave, and then I would go back to bed so that when he woke up, you know, he wouldn't be, but he actually, I think, was probably the biggest catalyst for, you know, being okay with it. Because he didn't have any problem with it. He was just like, you know, whatever, like, this is a part of you. I think you're beautiful. Your beard's beautiful. So that definitely made it a lot easier.
Go him.
So,
shout out.
Yeah, it was kind of like a whole hell, you know. He doesn't think it's so bad. Like, you know, maybe it's not. So, yeah, that first time was scary. But then, yeah, it was kind of a rush to, like, well, I did this, and, you know, I didn't really get, like, the kind of negative response that I feared that I would. And I got a really positive response, and so the next year, I was like, okay, well, I'll grow it out for No Shave November. And I made it 15 days that time.
Was that a No Shave November?
It's like a, I think.
I mean, is it for men and women, or is it part of the?
I think it's supposed to be for men, but I know. In the past few years, I've heard of a few women, like, you know, jumping on that train or whatever. But yeah, so it's supposed to be a guy's thing, because, you know, most women, like, we don't want people to know that we have hair. So, but I decided, no, you know, I'll do, like, I figured it would be an excuse. Like, here's a reason to do it. There's this thing, I'll do it. So I went 15 days that time, and I think I went to the store a couple of times. Like, I made myself leave the house because, you know, working from home, I don't have to leave the house. So this year was like, okay, in November, I can plan it out. I don't have to do anything before, you know, before Thanksgiving, so I don't have to leave the house. Looking at me, you know, again, I posted pictures, and I got a really positive response from other people, just like, wow, you know, I can't believe you doing this. I wish that I could do it. And I always try to respond with, you can. Like, I know that's kind of I was just like, oh, you can do it too, but really, you can. Like, there's, like, nothing super special about me that was just like, I don't know. Just like, I don't feel like there's, like, some special thing inside of me that allows me to do this that other people can't do. I don't know.
Well, something special about you that can't be denied, because other people don't do it. I can't tell you what it is, obviously. I don't know. I think that there is a lot of fear out there. I guess I'm curious, like, what have been the reactions? I mean, it sounds like your husband's been really supportive, but what about, like, your closest friends or your family? Or...
My friends have been really supportive. I mean, I have friends that, you know, we don't really talk about it, but, I mean, my older friends, because my older friends don't live here. So, you know, we don't really... My friends who do live here, they're just like, yes, you're fabulous. I think my mom kind of is... So I don't know if she gets why I'm doing it. Like, she's still... I don't think she's, like, against it or anything. I just think she doesn't understand why I would start doing it. And she actually came up... This last November, I grew it out again. And she came up when we went to Target, and she told me when we came back, she's like, you know, I was watching other people to see if they were watching you. And, you know, you really didn't. There was just a couple of people. But I just thought it was funny that she... I didn't realize that she was aware of it, because we hadn't really talked about it.
Interesting.
Yeah, but she was like... I was watching people to see if they were watching you, and I realized that I wasn't. Like, by that point, I wasn't even, it's easier for me just to not, you know, worry about if people are going to look. And actually, I think the biggest reactions I've gotten are from kids. You know, kids just, you know, just generally being like, Mommy, like, is that a boy or is that a girl? You know? So, just, you know, the kids are curious.
You know, it's funny, like, I keep trying to think of, like, what an equivalent thing would be. And I think it's hard, mm-hmm. you know, because I think it's hard to quantify the kind of pressure that women are put under in so many different ways. And this is pointing at one that I haven't even thought of, because, of course, I can't grow a beard, so I don't think of it as, like, something I had to, you know, but it's like, yeah. Of course, you know, and there's so many other things like that are very perfectly natural.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, so you work for an organization,
mm-hmm.
what's it called?
They are called the Body of Dermatology.
Mm-hmm.
They were started by, she is a slam poet and activist, Sonya Renee Taylor. She's a really great, she's amazing. So she started this organization / community a few years ago, and they just got their website up and running in December, and so they were kind of, you know, expanding the organization, and they took me on as the Instagram coordinator, admin. I'm in charge of the Instagram, which mostly involves Bad Picture Mondays. And Bad Picture Mondays are all about, well, let me go back.
Yeah.
The body is not an apology, is an organization.
Yes.
So they're all about what they call unapologetic radical self-love. And that being in service to this idea that all these oppressions, like racism and, you know, ableism and sexism, like all of these oppressions are rooted in fear and distrust of bodies. And so it's this idea that if you can kind of free yourself of those systems and, you know, just say, just be unapologetic about, like, this is me, this is my body, I don't have anything to be ashamed about, and then you learn to empathize with yourself and you learn to empathize with other people's bodies and their struggles, that it kind of gives you this really great tool for pushing back against all of those systems of oppression. You know, all of these oppressions that revolve around the way people's bodies are.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's just interesting that I've never quite thought about that connection between racism and sexism, or like, even like racism and patriarchy, you know, like the sense of people's bodies being owned or being owed, you know?
Yeah. The body is not an apology is really that they're kind of where I first heard that idea. And I was like, God, that makes, you know, the more you think about it, the more you, God, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're very about intersectionality and being very inclusive of, you know, making sure that people understand that this kind of self-love is for everybody. Like, there is one of the things that they say is there is no way that your body can be that is not deserving of love and respect and of being cared for and of deserving attention. So Bad Picture Mondays is kind of about embracing that and embracing like your flaws and your imperfections. And you know, a lot of what we see, especially on the internet, is, you know, I mean, not just the internet, all forms of media, it's like you see people looking perfect.
It's just like there's so much on the internet,
and it extends to people's personal spaces, where like you feel like you can't post like a Facebook profile picture unless you look perfect and you've got the right angle. And so there's this idea that, you know, like that's not a correct picture of humanity. That's not like a full picture of humanity. And so we're only glorifying this one type of way that our bodies can be. And so on Bad Picture Monday, we ask people to post pictures that they don't like of themselves. So, you know, whether it's, you know, that picture that maybe you're at a family function and it caught you laughing and you're like, oh, you can see my rolls and my like double chin and you don't like it, so you don't let somebody tag you in it. It's taking that kind of picture and being like, you know, no, like instead of seeing all the bad in you, try to look at it and see the good in you and try to see that, you know, you're a human being like in that moment, having this moment that's like kind of like a moment of love, you know, like that it came from a place of love. And so when you're experiencing a moment like that, like you can't be ugly. Like there's nothing ugly about that.
So what is ugliness?
Sometimes I say that I'm ugly positive activity to catch on, because I do think, on one hand, I do think that everybody deserves to feel beautiful, and like everybody should be able to embrace this idea of beautiful. But then I also don't think that ugly should be this thing that is demonized. You know, it's like, you know, if you're you look ugly today, you look ugly today. You know, that's great. Like, more power to you, I guess.
Yeah. No. Well, it's like putting this like moral weight on things that are actually. Well, because I mean, I guess in a way, to me, it's like as soon as you said like ugly positive or like. I've just thought about like non-resonant music, or what it like atonal music, where it's like not meant to sound good. Like that's the point. No contradictions. Like, yeah, there's just so much humanity in that. In that.
Something I've always been really like attracted to is, just like finding the good things in stuff that's supposed to be like ugly or stuff that's supposed to be not perfect and or wrong or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess I feel like the biggest hurdle the move that faces, or the question that comes up a lot, is like, you know, people feel like if you're encouraging people to be fat, you're encouraging them to be unhealthy.
Yeah.
You kind of touched on it a little bit, but I mean, what is your response to that?
Well, my response to that is that fat does not equal unhealthy, and that you cannot tell, cannot say things about a person's health just by looking at them. And that kind of deals with a movement called Health at Every Size. which when I'm kind of just now, like I'm actually just now reading, there's a book by Linda Bacon called Health at Every Size. And I'm just now reading that. So I'm kind of just now becoming familiar with like the science behind it. But you know, it's not just a thing that fat people believe because they want to make themselves feel better. It's like, it's evidence-based that, you know, there are benefits to being fat, and there are, it doesn't necessarily mean you're unhealthy, basically.
Yeah. Or any more unhealthy than someone who would be slightly underweight.
Exactly. But it's, that it's a lot of things that we ascribe to being fat, or like to the fatness itself, have to do with lifestyle. Like it has to do with what you eat and how you move, and studies have shown how you feel about yourself. That factors into, you know, your overall state of health. What I've really noticed is that people, because I've had people come onto my Tumblr blog, not my health blog, like my personal blog where I just will post pictures of me in outfits, and they're like, oh, you're glorifying obesity and saying that, you know, you're trying to get people to be fat and blah, blah, blah. All I'm doing is being out there and having a visibly fat body, and I'm showing people my fat body, and I'm showing people that I'm comfortable in it and that it's okay to look like me. And they equate that with, you're trying to make people be fat, or you're trying to tell people that they should. I'm like, I'm not trying to tell people they should be. I'm trying to tell them that if they're fat, that's okay. Yeah. Like, if you have health issues, I feel like if you have health issues, that's kind of separate. Like, you need to identify what your health issues are, but that factor into whether you are worthy or whether you're evil or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think I kind of lost the track. So there's so much out there putting pressure, like directly putting pressure on people to be thin, you know, like you need to be thin. Beyond just all the pictures we see of thin people, like there's a huge multi-million-dollar industry that's built on making people.
And to me, that is so much unhealthier, so much more unhealthy. Very, like, that's just a very unhealthy mindset, because it's like you get stuck in these loops of, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she is a big yo-yo dieter. Like, she's always going on these diets. And she went to the doctor the other day, and she found out her vitamin D or K, one of her vitamin levels was just really out of whack. And through talking to her doctor, he was like, you know, it's probably these particular diets that you keep going on, and you lose your weight, and you gain your weight, and you lose your weight, and you gain your weight, and that's really bad for your body, and it's really bad for your mind, because it's like you think, oh, I can't do this because I'm not good enough, or I can't do this because I don't have the willpower, when it's like, it's not supposed to work that way. Like, you know, like the whole system is designed to make you fail and then to make you feel bad about it. And it's just, it's a money racket. That's what it is.
Well, they're selling a body that's will ever. And do you feel like you've changed in your feeling about the movement in general? Like,
I think that, I don't know. I mean, I feel like when I first got involved, there was just a lot of excitement, and I'm so excited about it. But now that I've been in it for longer. I do think that there is still a lot of kind of like 101 conversation going on, which is really important, like, because obviously there aren't enough people on board, and so we need that. But then I'm kind of feeling like I'm at a place where I'm ready for more like 102 conversation. And so there's not quite as much of that, but then I feel like, well, if there's not as much of that, like maybe that's where I need to step up and I need to initiate more of that conversation and I need to make more of that happen. So
So what's 102?
I don't know. I think 102 is more of the, 102 is, I think, definitely more focusing on like the intersections and focusing on it's not just about you, it's about you and the way you connect to everyone else and their oppressions, and how, you know, taking it from being just a thing about making you feel worthy, and we can collectively, like, push back against all of these systems. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to
do. Yeah, wow. I like it.
Step up. And even not with the fatness, it's like everybody has a body.
Right.
And I think most people have hang-ups about their body.
Absolutely,
like, I think the vast majority of people just, you know, there's something wrong with my body.
Or have been made to feel, you know, that was the case, directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
And I remember the name. Maybe Sexy Baby? It was a really good movie, but one part was they followed this young girl, and they like were with her for like a year, I guess, and it was like she like got her period while they were filming, and like you could see between like her being in gymnastics and doing plays about feminism, and then like boom, like
doing these incredibly suggestive, like, sexy photo shoots and posting all over Tumblr. And they really made a direct link between, like, social media and this, like, increasing pressure on young girls to mm-hmm. have a certain look. And so yeah. I'm just curious because it's, like, at the same time, you found people on the...
I don't want to say the right community, but, like, the right community for you. You know what I mean? It's like you said, there are those... I don't know if really they're considered communities, but like there are those spaces out there where it's all about, you know, you have to look, feeling this pressure to look a certain way. And I feel like within like body positive and fat positive spaces, there might be an element of that too, because there is an element of like a fashion and people's style. And so, you know, there probably still is an element of pressure to, you know, want to look certain ways. But I think there's less of it. I think there's more of an emphasis on, you don't have to look a particular way. Whatever way makes you feel great, that's the way we want to celebrate. Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, I don't think it's like an either or.
You know?
It's like, it can be bad and it can be good, and you kind of just have to find where you fall into that. But it's hard with kids. Like,
yeah.
It's hard with kids because I think a lot of, I don't know, it's like a lot of the people that in their lives or that they're looking up to are still stuck in the kind of mindset that it's like they can't really, you know, show them those good spaces because they don't know about them, you know?
Yeah.
So something else that I've found in just the couple years that I've been in is like there are more people than I thought that are, you know, involved in this movement and that are, you know, coming at it from different angles. So I'm still kind of, because, you know, for a while it was kind of like all about me. Like it was just on the phone now, but before like seeking out other people and like what kind of work doing. And I'm sure there are people that are focused on specifically that. Because one of the first times I heard about the Pro-Anna thing was they were taking women, like fat women's pictures and reblogging them as like, you know, I don't want to look like this. This is,
yeah, yeah.
You know? And so that was kind of where I first heard about it. So my focus on eating disorder has kind of tended to be like binge eating disorder because that's, you know, I've never been diagnosed with anything, but it's been a problem for me. And it's, you know, it's been a problem for a lot of fatter women that I know. And it's one that doesn't get talked about a lot because it's just like, oh, well, you're fat and you just overeat. It's, you know, why is it a disorder? But, you know, it is. But I think all of them, there's definitely a link, no matter what the disorder is, there's definitely a link to how we're made to feel about our bodies and how we're constantly made to feel like you're never good enough. And I think, you know, with the anorexia thing, there is definitely an element of like fat hatred to that, of just the worst thing that you can be is fat.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's why I think it's really important to, you know, have body positivity, but to specifically have fat positivity and to say, no, the worst thing that you can be is not to be fat. And, you know, like, you don't have to kill yourself to not be this thing.
Right. I mean, just talking to you, I feel like that's what makes... I mean, this might be hard to answer, but, like, could you speak to, you know, what like, the parts of you that make you... Because I think there's, like, so many people out there that are, like, on the cusp of being able to be more positive about their bodies, but they're in the struggle, right? It's mm-hmm. like they have this part of themselves that they feel, they start, you know, they get into a bad place and that's where they go and they feel stuck there,
yeah.
You know? And then there's people who can get out of it, yeah. You know? And I know, like, just because you're involved doesn't mean you're cured of yeah. having these feelings, but I'm just curious, like, how you conceptualize that struggle in yourself and, like, if you had any advice to people who feel like, they just can't stop feeling that way, you know, like, I know I shouldn't,
yeah.
but I just do.
I think my biggest piece of advice is just be patient with yourself, like, be patient with yourself and be kind to yourself. That to me is something that I still struggle with, is, like, being kind to yourself and not just being so hard on yourself all the time and not thinking that you have to be perfect or thinking that, you know, if you can't get this right away, because I know there are people that have had that struggle with body positivity, is that they start to feel like, well, this isn't happening for me. Like, I've gotten to a place where I'm able to see that other people's bodies are great, but I'm still not feeling that way about mine, and they get really down on themselves, and it's like, you know, it's a process, like, and I think it's probably a lifelong process, you know, it's not something that is just going to go away, but, yeah, I think being patient to yourself, being kind, and just saturating yourself with it, like, just follow blogs and seek out people who are talking about it, read books, like,
the more involved, I found that the more involved you get with it, the more inspired you get, and the more that you, like, crave that feeling of, like, yes, I want to have this feeling of not hating myself.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you had a fantasy of what body positivity could look like in 20 years.
Oh, God.
What would it look like? How would people act?
I hope we don't need it as much in 20 years. More just, you know, just the way things are, you know, like, definitely for my kids, you know, like, when I start having kids, it's like, I don't want them to grow up with the same mindsets that I did and have the same hang-ups that I did. I hope that it's gotten to a place where people have been able to kind of, I don't want to say believe in themselves, but, you know, believe in themselves and kind of believe in other people and band together enough to, like I said, just push back against all of these systems that are, yeah, I just hope it's gotten to a place where, yeah, it's just kind of more, we don't need it as much, and we have been able to create systems that are more just and that are more inclusive. I definitely hope in 20 years' time we've been able to create some change in, like, the structure of things.
Yeah. Me too.
That is the dream, not just for body positivity, like, just for everything.
Yeah, right. Very cool. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for wearing me down and having to do this.
Badgering you.